Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
As we get closer and closer to the kickoff of the 2024 NFL season and meaningful games, we still have some meaningless games in many ways to digest, BT, and get into. And one of those games, maybe the most meaningful of the meaningless games, will be Saturday, Jets and Giants. You know, everybody's out there at Giants camp today with the morning show, just wrap it up. Evan and Tiku be out there later. But from a Jets perspective, to me, that's what matters. We've seen Daniel Jones in the preseason. We've seen him struggle. I mean, I'm sure we'll watch that again. It's about Aaron Rodgers and should he play or not. And I know we've had this conversation before, but I think it's good to have the conversation again ahead of this weekend. My feelings haven't changed on it. As much as I value having some time in the preseason for most, if not most, almost everybody, except for Aaron Rodgers. And maybe I am a little scared. Last time we had this conversation, you said that. Are you scared about Rodgers getting hurt? Maybe there is a part of me that's a little worried about that. But there's just no need to have Aaron Rodgers go out there in the preseason. It's not going to do anybody any good. He said it himself. It's not real football. 40 years of age, coming off the injury that he had a year ago, I could not live with myself if I played Aaron Rodgers in the preseason and he got hurt.
Listen, I understand it, but I've said I want him to play. I want to play a little bit, whether it's a series, whether it's two. You can script some stuff here, Sal, that, you know, I know you can only manipulate so much, but it's not like you're going to drop back and be reckless and have him fling it, you know, 5 or 6 times in a row deep downfield. You know, get a rollout or two, get a couple of handoffs. And I understand the pushback. Somebody might say, well, if it's going to be that benign, why even roll them out there? I think it sets a tone. I can't prove that. That's just always been in my gut. It's an entirely new offensive line. And by the way, not just Tyron Smith and the other, you know, Morgan Moses back and the new players they have. I really look at the offensive line as it's 100% new because Aaron Rodgers didn't get to play with anybody last year. So I want him to play. I think we'll probably know by today, tomorrow, the latest if he's going to. But what I find, I don't want to make more of it than necessary. Alarming's a bit strong, but does it seem to you that they have a plan?
Well, no, and I think that's the biggest point. Okay, so now that we decided whether, like, I don't want Rodgers to play, I would not take that risk. You want to see Rodgers get out there.
Yeah.
My issue is who's making the decision?
Yeah.
Shouldn't this be now you want to say collaborative in this particular case where you take some input from the player? Sure, but the head coach ultimately should be deciding this, no? Like if Robert Saleh says, I want Aaron to play a series, then Aaron should be playing a series, whether I think he shouldn't or not, even Rodgers himself. I'm not trying to take Rodgers off, obviously, but if the head coach feels as important, his quarterback gets out there, sets the tone in a otherwise meaningless preseason game behind the new offensive line, get the feel of being out there, whatever it may be. If the head coach decides that, then I'm okay with that. The problem is, in this particular case, I don't trust the head coach either.
So. Yeah, I don't think Saleh's going to flex like that. There's no way if you know, Rodgers is like, nah, I don't really need to play. There is no way that Robert Saleh's going to say you're playing, and nor should he.
What about the opposite way then?
Then I got to be honest with you. That changes the dynamics a bit there. We were talking about Daniel Jones yesterday, right? How he looked at the 2 picks, and obviously, you know, the 2 things that an athlete needs to, and this obviously applies to Rodgers coming off the Achilles injury, the 2 things that an athlete needs to do. Number one, you got to grind when nobody's watching and go through the rehab, which is arduous, but obviously very attainable if you're diligent during your rehab. That's fairly easy, and committed athletes come back from injuries. What's tougher is to learn how to trust your body. And, you know, I'm sorry, but just having a couple of rollouts or a couple of sprints or a couple of dropbacks or a couple of shotguns against the Jets defense in practice wearing a red jersey is not enough of a replication for me in terms of what he's going to see against the Niners on opening night. So I would, if Sava was hell-bent on no, which I think he's much more that than the other way, but Rodgers expresses interest in playing, I would acquiesce if I'm the coach.
Wow.
I would not.
I was thinking, you know, Rodgers wants to make this decision. If he says he doesn't want to play, then it's hard for Sala to force the issue.
Yeah. Although if he doesn't want to play, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. No, exactly. I'm with you on that.
Exactly. So if it's the other way around where Rodgers does want to play, but Sala says, I don't want him to play, he can't play. Sala's got to have, he's the head coach. I'm not saying you can't take any input. And again, I'm not saying I would even force the issue if Rodgers, you know, didn't want to play and Sala's gut is that I do want him to play. Yeah, I'm not going to force the issue in that particular case. You have to take what he says into account. He is, you know, a legend in the game, Aaron Rodgers. So fine. But the other way around, if Rodgers says, I want to play, I want to get out there, and Sala truly believes at his core that he doesn't want to risk Rodgers playing. And by the way, who's going to get blamed? It's going to be Sala. If something goes wrong, God forbid, it's going to be Robert Sala. Sala then cannot acquiesce in that spot. That to me is the, like, you want to say that Rodgers plays because he wants to play a series or he wants to play a quarter, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I could live with that. I don't love it. I could live with that. I cannot live with Sala acquiescing to Rodgers if Rodgers says he wants to play, but Sala ultimately doesn't want him to.
So you think that that's worse? Like, you think it's worse the rather than, so there's only two ways to look at it here. Right. Sala says you're playing and Rodgers doesn't really want to, and then you force the hand, which is not going to happen.
You're not going to do that.
But you think that Sala, like, basically abandoning his power,
yes,
if you will. I don't. I believe that's where, I know it's overused. We've already used it twice, but that's where collaborative efforts are important.
Right,
you've got to lean on a 40-year-old quarterback's gut. And his, you know, as long as he's physically healthy, which he is.
But don't you also want to keep him from doing harm to himself as a head coach? That's part of your
responsibility.
Why didn't
you let him play last year?
Well, but, I mean, that's a mistake to me, too. I wouldn't have let him play last year.
But he didn't get hurt last year, so it wasn't really a mistake. He threw a touchdown.
It's not just based on the result, because the result could be, oh, he doesn't get hurt, and then it's fine. It doesn't mean it was the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing this year. It doesn't mean it was the wrong decision if he does, in fact, get hurt. It would be my decision. And, you know, I'm not the head coach, so I'm not making the decision. I want Sala making the decision. The only way that it wouldn't make sense is if Rodgers really doesn't want to play and Sala does want him to get a feel or would prefer that he gets a feel. You're not going to force the issue, obviously, in this particular case.
Yep.
With a younger quarterback, absolutely you would. Or with a lesser player, you'd be like, no, I think it's good for the team. I think it's going to be good for you. Get out there and play. You listen to the head coach. In this particular case, if Rodgers doesn't want to play, there's no way anybody could say that it would be a good idea to force the issue.
Agreed with that.
Okay, right. But
same page with that.
If Rodgers says he wants to play and Sala, deep at his core, says, no way, big boy, I don't want to see you on the football field until Monday night in San Francisco, you're good. You put in the work. Don't worry about it. You're healthy. We'll let you get the feel of it once the games officially start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not acquiescing to that if I'm Robert Sala.
You have to. Let me give you it's not perfect, but I've got an interesting comparison for you. So you go to the range, you hit golf balls, right?
Yeah.
Flat, matte, perfect conditions, no side hills, no twisted lies, nothing. But whether or not you're very good or not, but that's almost irrelevant. You feel pretty comfortable. You know, thwack, mm-hmm, thwack, thwack, thwack. First hole, you know, you hit one in the rough and it's 7 inches deep, or you pipe one in the fairway, depending upon where you're playing, you've got a side hill lie. So now everything that you've done on the range means nothing, because now it's real golf. And I know, again, it's not perfect because Aaron Rodgers has played so much real football. But he has not played real football since he had that Achilles,
right,
you know, reattached to the back of his heel bone when it rolled up like a lampshade. And I believe there's value in that. I believe that when Aaron Rodgers, whether or not he's holding the American flag again, which I hope that he is, against the Niners when he comes out, although being on the road, he probably won't.
Yeah.
When he comes out against the Niners, I need him to know that he's comfortable and that he's right. Now, if Rodgers feels comfortable and right without playing against the Giants, then I'm I'm fine with that. But if he says, Coach, I want to throw with you, I want to get out there, you got to let him play.
See, I think that's
the fascinating. Take the training wheels off. Stop being soft. He's got to play if he wants to.
I think that's the most interesting part of the debate. Whether you or I think he should or shouldn't, we'll find out. But if Rodgers himself wants to play and Sala doesn't want him to play, what should the Jets do? I personally would side with Sala. He's the head freaking coach. If he doesn't want the quarterback to play, there's a good reason for it. Even though Rodgers, I want to play it, I want to get the feel for it. And again, we don't know.
Mm.
We'll find out soon enough what the real deal is. And I don't even know if we're going to know the real deal. Like, Are we going to know what Rodgers' true feelings are? Is he going to come out and say, I really wanted to play, and Sala's going to say no?
I don't think so. He'd probably protect his coach. But again, one of the things I said to start the show here, and I think he should play, you're less on that. I get it, a little bit of a difference. We'll get to the calls, 888-808-1019.
Sorry, BT, only because of his age.
Understood.
His age and what happened last year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That, it's funny. We do see it fundamentally different because of his age. I'm almost inclined to get him out there more.
And because of what happened last year?
Yeah. Think about this. I use the word replicate. You can only do so much in practice. Yeah, I know he's running. He's rolling out. The arm's fine. I'm talking about the wheels. So, you know, let's face it. C.J. Mosley or whomever, is not coming off a blitz, weak side. Right. They're not doing things in practice that he's going to see against the Niners. So I'm very reticent to have him go out there week one. And as soon as that ball to snap, have to take off and go from 0 to 70. You know, I'd prefer a little bit against the Giants, 0 to 40, 0 to 60. And then eventually, it's not such a shock to the body. You know, so that's the one aspect, and we disagree fundamentally. But I'm also, and this does speak to one thing that could really hurt the Jets this year, aside from Rodgers going down, is the mixed messaging here. I think I've heard two or three different versions. Rodgers maybe wanted to play and then he didn't really have any interest in playing. Then, Robert Saleh says, well, we're not sure. We haven't given it much thought. And I'm not trying to bag on the head coach unnecessarily, but if there's not a clearly crafted plan by now, what are we doing?
Yeah, and how wouldn't you even have that plan before? I thought it was definitive. The first words I remember hearing about this was, he's not playing definitively in the preseason.
Correct.
And I assume that it came from Robert Saleh. He's not playing. End of story. And then since then, it seemed to open up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then Rodgers came out and said preseason doesn't mean anything and those games don't matter. Obviously, we know they don't matter, but he was really, diminishing what preseason is, especially in today's day and age. But then the door was left open, so I'm confused. And I think that comes because you probably have two different feelings,
mm-hmm.
maybe multiple different feelings inside the building. What he should do, some people along with you, like, hey, get him out there, let's see how he reacts in live action and maybe take a hit, let's see if he's good to go before week one. And then there's some probably like me saying, no, we're not risking this, let him go out there when it counts, don't do it. I want to know what Saleh's true feelings are. And I think we get a better chance of knowing what Rodgers' true feelings are than Robert Saleh. Aaron Rodgers is not afraid to say what he's feeling. He's going to say it, whether he wants to play, whether he didn't want to play, whatever. But I don't know if we're going to know Saleh's true feelings on it, especially if, let's say, Saleh says, I don't want him to play, but Rodgers does want to play, and then we see Rodgers out there.
Yeah, sure. I would also say this. While I want to see him out there, I don't think it's an easy call. I'm not saying it's
me
easy.
Me neither. No,
I'm
me
not
neither.
Saying it's a layup. I see the other side, obviously. By the way, I see the other side for Garrett Wilson. And Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall and anybody else you want to mention that's a frontline starter. I understand the pushback on getting out there for something that means nothing in terms of the standings. It's just different with Rodgers.
I was just going
to
say,
got to trust his body.
Right, see, and that's the opposite. With me, it's different. I'd rather have the starters out there playing for a quarter or a series, whatever you feel comfortable with, get them ready. But with Rodgers, I just can't.
I got it.
After what happened last year and his age.
Yeah.
And I know he doesn't need it. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get to your calls at 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Pete is in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
How are you, Pete?
Good. I don't think we're having this conversation if Robert Saleh has at any point in his tenure as Jets head coach shown us that he was a competent head coach. He has never had a feel for the game. He's never had a feel for the situation. And I think we all know that right now Aaron Rodgers is the secret head coach of this team. He's the head coach, he's the offensive coordinator. And I think everyone also knows that the hottest seat in football right now from a head coaching perspective is Saleh's job.
Right.
If the Jets get off to a slow start, he's gone. So all this conversation about should Rodgers play, should Rodgers not play, if Saleh had shown he was a competent head coach, we're not even having this conversation. It's just whatever happens, happens, and it's the right decision. The other thing I'll say...
Well, don't you think, though, before you get to your second point, Pete, we'll let you make your second point, don't you think that that's the biggest issue? That's kind of what I'm talking about. If Saleh made a decision one way or another, again, you're not going to force Rodgers to play if he doesn't want to. But if they have the conversation and Saleh says, really, I'd like you to get out there, and Rodgers is like, all right, good, that would be the scenario you want. Or just Saleh says from the get-go, which I believe that he did say, he's not playing in the preseason, end of story, we're not taking the risk. That's it, end of story. This would have ended 2 weeks ago. No conversation about it, but it seems like it's opened up. Whatever Saleh said should have been the answer, should have been the result right from that. He's the head coach.
I totally agree with you, but I think he's a soft leader. I think he's a soft locker room presence, and I think, again, Rodgers is the one who's really calling the shots here.
Yeah, well, we all know that. Yeah, that's not breaking news. We know that.
Of course. The other thing is, in terms of Rodgers playing, I do think Rodgers should play a series, maybe two series, but that also means that every other starter has to play. The entire offensive line, Tyron Smith has to get out there.
Yep.
This guy barely practiced. Every time I look on Twitter, he's sitting out. He's on the stationary bike. I don't know how ready he is. You're going to put Aaron Rodgers out there with a backup left tackle in a preseason game?
Yeah, and by the way, Pete, think about this. So thank you for the call there, Pete. You're following the snap-to-snap stuff like I am on social media as well. For those of you who follow this, Tippmann's had a brutal summer in terms of snapping the ball. I mean, the last thing, think about how... I mean, I almost didn't even want to put this out there in the universe, but think about how Vinny ruptured his Achilles in 99. Remember the botched exchange with Curtis?
Right.
As week one against the Pats?
Right.
And then it was an abrupt shift in direction. It wasn't like a jarring, blunt trauma force. It was just he was trying to pounce on the ball, and his Achilles rolled up. And, you know, pretty sure the Jets are going to go a little shotgun week one against the Niners. The last thing that I want is for Tippmann to sail it over his head, you know, on 3rd and 8, with 3 Niners coming at you from every direction, not knowing where the hell the football's going, and Aaron Rodgers going from 0 to 90 trying to pounce on the football.
But that's something that can be and should be cleaned up in preseason.
But it hasn't been yet.
Practice?
In practice, it hasn't been yet.
Yeah, but
been an issue all summer for Tippmann.
But that's not going to change. So that means the Jets need to figure out a new center, because that's not going to... BT, you know it. That's not going to change.
Well,
if the guy can't figure out in practice snapping the football, what makes you think that just playing in a preseason game with Rodgers under center is going to make it any better?
Well, I don't have great confidence that it will, but at least if he can deliver a couple of the strikes in preseason, it could calm the nerves and get him in a better mental spot to do it week one against the Niners.
Yeah, but he could do that with a backup quarterback. Even more so the reason, I'm not going to have that factor in major, but even more so the reason to not have Rodgers out there. Yeah, Tippmann's got to get his act together otherwise he's going to get his quarterback killed potentially. So that's something the Jets need to figure out. You cannot go into week one with Tippmann being the center if he cannot snap the ball. End of story.
But he is the center, they better resolve this soon.
I mean, they got a couple weeks left, so what are we doing here?
I want to play something for you. This was Robert Saleh, not just so much about Rodgers, but the team in totality of Robert Saleh. This was yesterday. Yeah, again, the message, it sounds right. It just feels like it's kind of changed a little bit. Like, you're not going to play. We could play. I don't know. Here's Robert Saleh yesterday.
We haven't talked about it yet. We'll reevaluate everything after the practice on Wednesday and come up with a decision.
Okay. So how have you not talked about this yet?
I'm not even sure I'd buy that.
Yeah, I definitely don't buy that.
They've been talking about it for weeks. What do you mean you haven't talked about it yet? They're talking about this specific night, I guess.
Probably.
They haven't made the decision. But they've had to have talked about it.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, first of all, don't you think as you set things up, and go to training camp for day one, that might not be bullet point number one on the to-do list, but don't you think that they've crafted their organizational plan on how they're going to handle Aaron Rodgers the entire summer? All right, 5 practices, then maybe a day off, then we'll do this, then maybe we'll do that. You know, Panthers definitely not playing, game two, not playing. Giants game, what do we think, guys? Where are we at with the Giants? Maybe play? I mean, you haven't talked about it yet. I don't believe that.
I'd hope that this stuff was mapped out a long time ago.
Listen, I'm going to give them credit. Not that they've necessarily earned it in this regard, but I believe it's mapped out.
But then why is he gonna...
I believe that that's solid, just not divulging.
Right,
and, I'm fine with that.
Which
because
is
we've
fine.
Complained about him talking too much.
Which is fine, but even the way he doesn't divulge is not the right way. Just say, we're not ready to give you our answer or our decision.
I agree. That's a good point. I agree. Yeah, it's almost too...
I know what you mean. Just say, we're not ready to make that decision public yet.
It comes across as sloppy.
Yeah.
Like they're almost disjointed. I don't think that they are pertaining to this. If you can't get this right, what's the plan for Rodgers just in terms of sheer playing time? And we got no hope this year, which I don't believe is the case.
Come on, we haven't talked about it yet. We all know you've talked. We hope. You give it the benefit of the doubt. You have talked about it. I think there's two layers to it. What we or you would do individually, whether you want to see Rodgers play or not, and then who should ultimately be making the decision whether he does play or not. And for me, that's got to be on Robert Saleh. He's the head coach. I know Rodgers is an all-time, MVP, Super Bowl winner, great quarterback, and you factor what he says in, but ultimately, if Saleh, let's say, doesn't want him to play, then Rodgers should not be playing. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Yeah, we're going to have these calls coming up. I'm going to take a little guess here, just because everybody is so soft these days. I guarantee you the general consensus is, don't let him play. I already feel it. I don't know.
Last time we had this conversation, I think I was in the minority. Most people wanted them to play.
All right, we'll see.
When this happened, you talked about...
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Put it on the Fan.
Oh, hitting at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We're talking preseason football. Although this is one, BT, I will make a point to watch. I told you I don't care about the preseason. I don't get into it. But the Jets and Giants matchup, generally the one that means the most, even in today's watered-down preseason where you heard, I forget who it was. Was it Saleh or guys? Somebody was saying it a couple of weeks ago that basically, it might have been Saleh himself, that basically the first 4 weeks of the season, in season, and I remember having Ian Eagle on last year saying the same thing with him and he came on with Jerry Recco and I when I filled in for the morning show. Maybe that was a couple years ago, talking about how now in the NFL, basically the first few weeks, if not the first 4 weeks of the season, is essentially a preseason and teams getting a feel for what they are and working on things just in games that count. But if any preseason game is going to matter, it's the one that's going to take place Saturday night with the Jets and Giants. And in this particular case, I think Aaron Rodgers is the story, whether he's going to play or not. We haven't seen him play outside of the preseason game a year ago that you were at Jets and Giants. That was it.
Yeah.
Only time we've seen Aaron Rodgers actually be the quarterback of the New York Jets.
I enjoy the Jets-Giants preseason game. I do. I've gone to a bunch. It came up the other day. I was at the one going back to when Seahorn ripped up his knee when he was returning kicks. That's what. Remember when they put grass? Remember when they experimented with the grass trays at the Meadowlands? I think they did that. I think that was the first season that they actually...
That long ago with Seahorn?
Yeah, I could have sworn it was the 1999 season. Okay. I mean, I might be off by a year or two, but it was right in that vicinity. So I've always gotten into it. It's fun. You know, some wacky things have happened. Chad Pennington, remember he broke his wrist. That was when I think Brandon Short tackled him from behind, right?
Eli got once. The remember he was bleeding?
Yeah.
He got hit with the helmet.
Yeah.
The helmet came down, hit him in the nose. He was bleeding.
I do. The whole Sanchez, when he got hurt, right? He was out there. Rex was trying to win the Snoopy Bowl.
Yeah. I remember because I was doing an overnight after that game. Was that where Geno, did he step out of the back of the end zone?
Or ran out of the back of the
game? Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I feel like that might have been the case where Geno had to come in the game and ended up running out of the back of the end zone, some kind of mistake.
I thought Sanchez got hurt because Rex was trying to win. And then... Geno had to come in.
Okay, they would have crossed paths. That would have been that time.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that was the case. Anyway, point is, look, the results of the game, at least to me, don't matter. I don't know, you as a Jeff...
No, whatever.
The results don't matter, but you do want to see your guys go out there and, at least you normally look competent going on into the season, knowing that that's going to be the last game that you play. In this case, though, I just can't do it with Rodgers. Daniel Jones, a little bit of a different story, coming off the injury, looking rusty last week, to say the least. Almost everybody else for me, I'm always, hey, play him. You can't protect these guys in bubble wrap, but with Rodgers, I'm not doing it. And even more so, if Saleh determines that he feels the best course of action is to not have Rodgers play, then he can't play. End of story. So I'm not sure what's going back and forth here, what we're waiting for, but ultimately it should be the head coach's decision.
Well, listen, we've talked about self-preservation and how it's a powerful thing. Now let's put ourselves in Robert Saleh's shoes. Now, I'm not saying he's so selfish to think at all. I mean, I don't want to imply that at all, even though we question a lot of things he does as a coach.
Right.
We think he's a really good man, and hopefully he refutes some of those negative claims about his coaching this year. That would be nice. But do you think if you're Robert Saleh, right, it's got to be a little tricky, the motivation to withhold Rodgers from this game or any meaningful snap, somewhat meaningful, during the summer?
Yeah.
How much of that is fueled by the fact that if you don't win games, you're gone as a coach?
Well, I would assume he's going to, as he should be doing every year, but especially this year, do whatever he thinks is best to prepare this football team to win as many games as possible. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. What does Saleh think, and the Jets organization think, is best to get them ready to win as many games as possible for the upcoming season? In my mind, it would be not having Rodgers risk anything in the preseason and having him play week one. Now, you could certainly make the argument the other way, as you have.
I have. Again, not where I'm going to die on this hill necessarily. It is the summer still, but we were having this discussion a year ago when we just started our show together. I was saying the same thing. I want him to play.
Right.
He played, did well, threw the touchdown to Garrett, looked sharp, and he came out unscathed physically from that game. And then we know what happened. So it's almost like best laid plans almost go awry anyway in sports. Like with pitchers,
think about the Yankees
with Jabba, or all these, I'm just throwing out random examples, all these other injuries. Like you try to manipulate the human body, it almost comes back to bite you more. And I'm not saying be reckless, but I am saying I like to dust him off a little bit, get some meaningful reps before the Niners game.
BT and Sal on the Fan, what do you think? 888-808-1019. Tim is calling from Rockville Center. What's up, Timmy?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Listen, thanks for taking the call. I enjoy your show, but let me make a point here. One, you're right, the game is meaningless. Getting Rodgers in will not matter by week 8, week 12. Also, remember, you just brought it up, BT. Pennington got hurt. Sanchez got hurt. I know the past doesn't indicate what's going to happen, but I'd rather rest them. And don't disregard the fact that the Giants, on a year where they're not predicted to have a great season, wouldn't mind getting after Rodgers and potentially ending the Jets season when you could just all-out blitz. You don't care if you give up a score. There's just too much risk involved. And if you remember last year, if you remember, Rodgers just said in an interview on the Fan last week that Wink Martindale told them they were going to be vanilla in the preseason, and he's blitzing them all over the place. And you remember, I forget the linebacker's name on the Giants.
Yeah, I remember that. I was at the game. They were chirping at each other. I remember it.
Don't misunderstand that the organization share a stadium, and that's it.
Well, so let me ask you this here, Tim. All right, fine. I got you. We disagree a little bit. It's all good. But so I just want to flip this. I just want to see if you're consistent. So the Giants and Daniel Jones already played, so it's a little different. But, I mean, how long are you going to tempt fate by running Daniel Jones out there? Because the Jets defense is better than the Giants. So if that applies, the Giants trying to disrupt the Jets season, which I don't think they would try to do it with injury, but you're the one who said that. So how long are you going to run Jones out there with this great Jets defense chasing him down?
Well, the Giants aren't all in with Jones. Let's be honest. We all know he's on a one-year deal pretty much at this point.
Well, how long do you think Rodgers is going to be here?
Well, yeah, but the counter would be that Daniel Jones needs it.
Rodgers is 40. Rodgers is 40. It's not worth the bumps, whatever. I don't care if he sprains his ankle. And don't forget the fact, if Rodgers goes out there and, God forbid, gets injured, Saleh will never get over. Yeah, he's already in trouble.
That's the thing, Tim, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in.
Thanks, bud.
When I'm making this decision in my mind, I'm doing it from a head coach perspective. Like, what would I do with my team getting ready for the season? There's no way I could ever live with myself. God forbid. I'm not saying he's going to get hurt if he plays, or it's likely even that he's going to get hurt. I just know that if something happened to my 40-year-old quarterback coming off a season-ending injury a year ago, I'd never be able to live with myself. I'll deal with it in week one, get him ready in week one, even if I have to sacrifice that game to a certain extent. I could not live with myself if he got hurt in the preseason. Whereas with Daniel Jones, even though he's often injured and coming off a significant injury, he needs the reps. Like, this is Aaron Rodgers does not. Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl winner, MVP, all those different things.
Are you sure about that?
What?
That he doesn't need some reps. He didn't play last year. He didn't play well the year before.
Yeah, I mean,
by his standard.
I don't believe Rodgers needs a series in the preseason to get ready for the regular season. Now, again, if he said differently, I'd take that into account. I still wouldn't want him to go out there and just risk being out there and risk anything happening to him. Mm-hmm. I know, like, Daniel Jones in a totally different spot. Daniel Jones needs the reps. Yeah. Clearly, he's not that guy.
Well, let me ask you this real quick here, Sal. So the Jets season went up in flames last year after Rodgers went down because why? Because their backup situation was a mess.
Well, I mean, that's part of the reasons, yeah, right.
I mean, the main reason is Rodgers got hurt. The second reason is Zach Wilson was awful.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I could also argue the head coach wasn't any good.
I could too.
But the infrastructure is not good. When you have something like that happen, look, teams are going to have an impossible time recovering from losing their starting quarterback.
Uh-huh.
However, other teams did it a lot more successfully than the Jets did.
No question, but I'm just saying, just to cut the nut here, Rodgers goes down.
Wilson was terrible.
Wilson plays. They don't score any points despite the really good defense. Jets are not good. Okay, so with that, knowing what just happened a year ago, would you play Tyrod Taylor this weekend? Because if Rodgers gets hurt, God forbid, in week 3 or 4, and Tyrod Taylor gets hurt Saturday, they're screwed anyway.
Well, I think it's then a philosophy of, I mean, when you put it that way, I wouldn't want to risk anything that can impact my season in a negative way.
Then they got to get rid of these games. Well, then it's a complete waste of time, but it's stupid.
Agreed, but then that's another conversation. Old school me, I used to like the idea of playing starters in a game and getting... That's what the preseason was for.
Yeah.
The preseason wasn't there just as a money grab to create these games that nobody cares about. It was there to, you know, a preseason should get you ready for the regular season. It gets you ready for the season. That's what the preseason games are for. But it evolved to a point where nobody felt it was worth it to run the starters out there or get them ready for the regular season in games that don't count or don't matter. So now you're essentially getting that in the first 4 weeks of the season. It's a pseudo preseason. That's just the reality. It does not mean making it up. That's the reality. So then, to your point, why even play these preseason games? Have them all count.
Well, and this is a totally different branch on the NFL tree, but so not only does, you know, the most of the best players, many of them, not really play during the regular season, and the why they do this is when I had the Jet ticket season, I had to do this myself. You know, you're on the hook for the home games over at the Meadowlands or MetLife. So you have season tickets, Jets, Giants. You got to buy, you know, meaningless tickets as well for a summer game. Okay.
Right.
So not only do you get screwed financially, but now, to Sal's point, that he's absolutely right, but it bleeds into the first month of the season. So you'll lose money in August, and we basically get deprived of good football in September.
Yeah.
So we lose.
You do watch it. And if not that you're new to the sport, but like if you haven't been paying close attention to it for years and you just don't realize it, well, the games count and they matter, and your fantasy teams and your bets and all that stuff, you get into it, like it's real football, it counts. But watch the quality of play in the first few weeks, if not the first quarter, first 4 weeks of the season versus the rest of the season. It's just facts.
Yep.
I mean, that's facts. So do I have the right solution? Do I have an answer to how you fix that? Because let's say you wipe out the preseason. Well, then what? Well, you just roll out the football.
It's going to get worse. When they add the 18th game, they will remove a preseason game. Yeah, and think about this. That's why when you have 162 baseball games, there's margin for error. 82 NBA games, hockey 82. All right, you start 2-8, not optimal. I mean, a great team's not start 2-8, but you get the point. You can recover. You start 1-5 in the NFL, you're absolutely cooked. So with that 18th game, at least it unfortunately stretches the boundaries of how long you can play bad football and still recover so it gets screwed again down the road.
It's just the nature of the sport, not that it's equal to the Pro Bowl or the All-Star game, but in the other games, you can play the All-Star game without worrying about significant injury taking place. And not really, I mean, I know obviously the All-Star game in the NBA or the NHL, certainly nowhere near the regular season product. Same thing for baseball. It's not the regular season product, although maybe similar than the other sports. In football, you can't have a football game where you just have players not tackling. It just doesn't happen. So, all right, it's a different level because the Pro Bowl is totally different, but in this particular case, you're trying to get ready for the regular season, but everybody knows it doesn't matter, so it's not really going to get you ready the way a spring training game would or preseason hockey or NHL or NBA would. I don't know what to do. It's just a sport. What are you supposed to do? I have games that count that are less quality or play hard and go full force to get ready for the regular season in games that don't matter and risk injury.
Yeah, you know the answer. Unfortunately, it's not the one that we want.
Right. It's going to be the games that count are going to be less quality.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll talk some Mets coming up in a little bit. Yanks back in action tonight, taking on Cleveland. That should be a fun series. I know you're going to the game, BT.
Yep.
We'll get into that a little bit later on as well. We're starting talking about the football as we approach Jets-Giants here, preseason game on Saturday. And, of course, we get ready for the regular season. You know, I was telling my wife on Sunday, I was like, you realize there's only two more non-football Sundays left.
Which means you won't be seeing me much. That's what Sal's telling us.
Bye-bye. No, I mean, I'll be in the house still, but yeah. I'm not going to be around, basically. Yep. Leave daddy alone. Football starts. See ya.
There in body, and that's about it.
I know you got a lot of trips coming up as well. You're looking into that.
Yeah, we'll go to Tennessee with my company. We'll do the Titans game. We'll do the London game. Obviously, Jets Vikings. We're doing the Pittsburgh Sunday Night Football. Also in October. That might be November.
Right.
So anyway, if guys want to jump in, it's an amazing trip. It's all over my social media stuff. It is top notch and awesome.
Yeah,
can't wait.
I don't know if I'm ready to take the leap with that yet, but I do want to get to a home game. I'm going to go to Giants Cowboys the Thursday Night Football game.
You decided on that.
Definitely doing that, and I'm going to go one way or another.
Jets-Pats.
I got to get tickets for the Jets, though.
I'll go with you, the Jets-Pats.
Okay, you ready for that one?
See, listen, this is my conflict, and I've probably gone to, let me see, 8, 16, 24, 32. I mean, I've probably been to about 40-something Jet home games.
Right. In your life, you're talking about?
Yeah. And then probably 7 or 8 more on the road.
Right.
I want to watch it with the fam.
Yeah,
the
old guys, I know.
Come on, the young ones. They're into it.
You saying I'm not fam?
I'm saying you're a grown man. And yes, you are fam.
Me, you, and Hoff. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Come on, he's all into it.
No, I get it.
Hey, buddy, I'm going to the Jets game. Make sure you don't stay up past 10 o'clock tonight. I can't do that to him. I wouldn't do it.
You can't bring
him. And my daughter watches, too.
You can't bring Colt or...
Well, I mean, I have been known to ignore the...
A night game is late.
What the teachers have to deal with the next day when the kids are a little tired, then maybe we do that.
Night game gets a little rowdy.
Well, I'm saying he'll be exhausted the next day, which means
saying,
the teachers...
Does it get rowdy?
That too. The night games, come on. You know, the booze is amplified, and
I know, I might need to sit in the press box for that. I don't know if
Stop! Press box. Come on.
No, Jets-Pats, it should be a party.
It should be destruction is what it should be.
Finally.
You know, Jets 31, Pats 10. It's going to be an ass-kicking.
Here we go.
I can't help myself. That one, I mean that. Ass-kicking. The hex is over. The 14-game losing streak is over. They won the meaningless game, which prevented them from getting maybe who they really wanted to get in the draft. But at least at that, even though I'm fine with what they did with the O-lineman, that losing streak is over. And I do believe that the Jets will smack the Pats.
You know, we had that Rodgers book sent to us. Before we get back to the phones here, 888-808-1019. We had the Rodgers book, Adam Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers.
Ian O'Connor's book, yeah.
Yeah, and I just started it. Dude, it's getting me even more pumped up for the Jets season. First of all, Rodgers is even the story of how he became, and I'm not even there yet, I'm just in the early goings, but how he always had a chip on his shoulder. I wasn't like this highly recruited kid at a high school.
I went to JUCO.
Went to JUCO, exactly. And then started dominating there and basically telling everybody, doubt me if you want, but I'm going to be this and that. I cannot believe, and I was thinking about this as I'm listening to the book and absorbing it and getting excited for the season. I still can't believe Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the New York Jets. And I'm like, why do I have a hard time actually believing this? And I think the reason is because we haven't seen him as the quarterback of the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we actually haven't seen him. We've talked about it for 2 years, and we've seen all but 4 plays. Think about it.
Imagine the Mets acquiring, Roger Clemens
Justin
back in
Verlander.
The day.
Oh, yeah.
There are some actual examples, yeah. And he comes to Port St. Lucie and, or opening day, he throws 3 pitches and he tears his labrum and he's out for the whole season.
Right, right.
But he's a Met. Right. He just hasn't done anything for you.
Right.
I get it. It's weird.
And being that we as a whole, as this city, and I know everybody watches, out of town football and there are a ton of fans, Steelers and Cowboys, whatever it may be, whatever team you root for. But still in New York, we're subject to and have been subject to some of the worst football, in particular some of the worst quarterback play in the sport for years upon years.
Sal, it has been, it's been depressing. The best part of my days for football Sundays the last 14 years is, well, I mean, really it's changed with
right.
I mean, just my lifestyle's changed, but the last couple of years is when I sit down and I have the roast beef and the mozzarella and the roasted red peppers yeah. and a little, you know, a little shrimp salad and a ginger ale and some chips. And when that's done, it's like, all right, 6-3 at the half and the day, boy, I'm done. I'm like, this sucks. Every Sunday, it seems like we're chained to that unenviable sporting script where it seemed it has seemed terminal. Like, we're never going to escape it.
And, you know, on that topic, I know that everybody is talking Super Bowl and whatever. That's fine. Like, you want to have the highest of expectations. I get it. But the reality is, as long as we get excitement each and every Sunday and legitimate hope and that thought could be out there, what the Jets are going to do in the playoffs and maybe go on a run. Mm-hmm. Like, watching Rodgers, I'm not even sure, even though we've talked about it and dreamed about the hype and you were getting into it last year and, you know, Jets are going to win 13 games, whatever it may be, and we all started to fall in love with that trade. Like, I'm not even sure Jet fans really know what the excitement is going to be like, what it's going to feel like if everything goes the way that you can expect it with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Like, it could exceed, forget about the results at the end of the year, it could exceed the expectations week in, week out. Like, oh my God, I've been watching Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold,
Geno before he had this renaissance.
Yeah. Hackenberg, Petty.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. Bryce Petty.
I mean, you're going to be seeing
Kevin
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Brooks Bollinger.
The
Testaverde part three.
The jump the jump from that to Aaron Rodgers, I don't even know if we're ready for it.
Okay, so now that's optimal. I can promise you I'm ready for it. I have a pretty vivid imagination, my fellow Jets brethren here. But I do hear you, and I'm not trying to paint the negative. I don't anticipate this, but there's also the other side of the coin. Like, the one thing we don't know about Rodgers is if he's still awesome. And how, as amazing as it would be what Sal just described, imagine how depressing it would be if he's pedestrian.
And you almost get to feel like that would kind of be on brand, would it not?
No. I'm not even expecting that.
Meaning it's Rodgers. He's a different animal, man. I don't care how old he is. I'm not doubting him.
Yeah, we both love him. And the good thing about Rodgers, you know, he doesn't have to be peak Rodgers. He's just got to be, he's got to be good. And he's got to manipulate the game with his mind, and he's got to be consistent. He's got to punctuate trips to the red zone with a couple of touchdowns. And put up 40 points. Then have to throw 47 touchdowns and challenge for the MVP. Be nice. I don't think he does that, and I don't think the Jets need him to do that because of the other components of their team. But if he's just slightly better than average, Jets going to win a ton of games. Bottom line.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll turn our attention to the Mets. We'll continue with your Jets calls and Rodgers in the preseason. We'll get into the Giants as well. I know it's a big day for the station. We had the morning show out at Giants camp. Afternoons will be out there as well and have some good guests for you. So we'll talk some Giants as well, but we'll do Mets when we come back. And your calls at 888-808-1019.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
And call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll talk some Mets coming up in a little bit. Yanks back in action tonight, taking on Cleveland. That should be a fun series. I know you're going to the game, BT.
Yep.
We'll get into that a little bit later on as well. We're starting talking about the football as we approach Jets-Giants here, preseason game on Saturday. And, of course, we get ready for the regular season. You know, I was telling my wife on Sunday, I was like, you realize there's only 2 more non-football Sundays left.
Which means you won't be seeing me much. That's what Sal's telling us.
Bye-bye. No, I mean, I'll be in the house still, but I'm not going to be around, basically. Yep. Leave daddy alone. Football starts. See ya.
There in body, and that's about it.
I know you got a lot of trips coming up as well. You're looking into that.
Yeah, we're going to Tennessee with my company. We'll do the Titans game. We'll do the We'll do the London game. Obviously, Jets Vikings. We're doing Pittsburgh Sunday Night Football. Also in October. That might be November.
Right.
So anyway, if guys want to, you know, jump in, it's an amazing trip. It's all over my social media stuff. It is top notch and awesome.
Yeah,
can't wait.
I don't know if I'm ready to take the leap with that yet, but I do want to get to a home game. I'm going to go to Giants Cowboys the Thursday Night Football game.
You decided on that?
Definitely doing that, and I'm going to go one way or another.
Jets Pats.
I got to get tickets for the Jets, though.
I'll go with you, the Jets Pats.
Okay, you ready for that one?
See, listen, this is my conflict, and I've probably gone to, let me see, 8, 16, 24, 32. I mean, I've probably been to about 40-something Jet home games.
Right. In your life, you're talking about?
Yeah. And then probably 7 or 8 more on the road.
Right.
I want to watch it with the fam.
Yeah.
The
old guys, I know.
Come on, the young ones. They're into it.
You saying I'm not fam?
I'm saying you're a grown man. And yes, you are fam.
Me, you, and Hoff. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Come on. He's all into it.
No, I get it.
Hey, buddy, I'm going to the Jets game. Make sure you don't stay up past 10 o'clock tonight. I can't do that to him. I wouldn't do it. My daughter watches, too.
You can't bring Colt or...
Well, I mean, I have been known to basically ignore the...
A night game is late.
What the teachers have to deal with the next day when the kids are a little tired. Yeah. Maybe we do that.
Night game gets a little rowdy.
Well, I'm saying he'll be exhausted the next day, which means
saying,
the teachers...
Does it get rowdy?
That too. The night games, come on. You know, the booze is amplified. You know, and
I know. I might need to sit in the press box for that. I don't know if
Stop. Press box. Come on.
No, Jets, Pats, it should be a party.
It should be destruction is what it should be.
Finally.
You know, Jets 31, Pats 10. It's going to be an ass-kicking.
Here we go.
I can't help myself. That one, I mean that. Ass kicking. The hex is over. The 14-game losing streak is over. They won the meaningless game, which prevented them from getting maybe who they really wanted to get in the draft. But at least at that, even though I'm fine with what they did with the O-lineman, that losing streak is over. And I do believe that the Jets will smack the Pats.
You know, we had that Rodgers book sent to us. Before we get back to the phones here, 888-808-1019, we had the Rodgers book, Adam Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers.
Ian O'Connor's book, yeah.
Yeah, and I just started it. Dude, it's getting me even more pumped up for the Jets season. First of all, Rodgers is just, I mean, even the story of how he became, and I'm not even there yet, I'm just in the early goings, but how he always had a chip on his shoulder. I wasn't like this highly recruited kid at a high school.
And went to JUCO.
Went to JUCO, exactly. And then started dominating there and basically telling everybody, doubt me if you want, but I'm going to be this and that. I cannot believe, and I was thinking about this as I'm listening to the book and, you know, absorbing it and getting excited for the season. I still can't believe Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the New York Jets. And I'm like, why do I have a hard time actually believing this? And I think the reason is because we haven't seen him as the quarterback of the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we actually haven't seen him. We've talked about it for 2 years, and we've seen all but 4 plays. I mean, think about it.
Imagine the Mets acquiring, you know, Roger Clemens
Justin
back in
Verlander.
The day.
There are
some actual examples, yeah. And he comes to Port St. Lucie and, you know, or opening day, he throws 3 pitches and he tears his labrum and he's out for the whole season.
Right.
But he's a Met. Right. He just hasn't done anything for you.
Right.
I get it. It's weird.
And being that we as a whole, as this city, and I know everybody watches, you know, out-of-town football and there are a ton of fans, Steelers and Cowboys, whatever it may be, whatever team you root for, but still in New York, we're subject to and have been subject to some of the worst football, in particular some of the worst quarterback play in the sport for years upon years.
Sal, it's been depressing. The best part of my day is for football Sundays the last 14 years is, well, I mean, really it's changed just my lifestyle's changed. But the last couple of years is when I sit down and I have the roast beef and the mozzarella and the roasted red peppers and a little shrimp salad and a ginger ale and some chips. And when that's done, it's like, all right, 6-3 at the half and the day, I'm done. I'm like, this sucks. Every Sunday it seems like we're chained to that unenviable sporting script where it seemed it has seemed terminal, like we're never going to escape it.
And you know, on that topic, I know that everybody is talking Super Bowl and whatever, that's fine, like you want to have the highest of expectations, I get it, but the reality is, as long as we get excitement each and every Sunday and legitimate hope and that thought could be out there what the Jets are going to do in the playoffs and maybe go on a run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watching Rodgers, I'm not even sure, even though we've talked about it and dreamed about the hype and you were getting into it last year and, you know, Jets are going to win 13 games, whatever it may be, and we all started to fall in love with that trade. Like, I'm not even sure Jet fans really know what the excitement is going to be like, what it's going to feel like if everything goes the way that you can expect it with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Like, it could exceed, forget about the results at the end of the year, it could exceed the expectations week in, week out. Like, oh my God, I've been watching Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold,
Geno before he had this renaissance.
Hackenberg, Petty.
Yeah, there you go, Bryce Petty.
I mean, you're going to be seeing
Kevin
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Brooks Bollinger. Vinny Testaverde, part three.
The jump from that to Aaron Rodgers, I don't even know if we're ready for
it. Okay, so now that's optimal. I can promise you I'm ready for it. I have a pretty vivid imagination, my fellow Jets brethren here. But I do hear you, and I'm not trying to paint the negative. I don't anticipate this, but there's also the other side of the coin. Like, the one thing we don't know about Rodgers is if he's still awesome. And how, as amazing as it would be what Sal just described, imagine how depressing it would be if he's pedestrian.
And you almost get to feel like that would kind of be on brand, would it not?
I'm not even expecting that.
Meaning it's Rodgers. He's a different animal, man. I don't care how old he is. I'm not doubting him.
Yeah, we both love him. And the good thing about Rodgers, you know, he doesn't have to be peak Rodgers. He's just got to be, he's got to be good. And he's got to manipulate the game with his mind. And he's got to be consistent. He's got to punctuate trips to the red zone with a couple of touchdowns. And put up 40 points. Then have to throw 47 touchdowns and challenge for the MVP. Be nice. I don't think he does that, and I don't think the Jets need him to do that because of the other components of their team. But if he's just slightly better than average, Jets going to win a ton of games. Bottom line.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll turn our attention to the Mets. We'll continue with your Jets calls and Rodgers in the preseason. We'll get into the Giants as well. I know it's a big day for the station. We had the morning show out at Giants camp. Afternoons will be out there as well and have some good guests for you. So we'll talk some Giants as well, but we'll do Mets when we come back. And your calls at 888-808-1019.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.